All right, good morning. Okay, my name is Mick, if you do not know who I am. And I'm just going to share God's word with you this morning. So let's pray, and we'll see what God has to say. Father, we praise you that we are able to hear stories this morning about steps of faith, about people dedicating their child and their children and their family and parents getting around them to raise them to know you. Father, we just thank you that you orchestrate all things, and we just pray that you would still our hearts this morning and just allow us to take in from your spirit just what it is you need us to hear, and then that we would act on that, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going 3 weeks through prayer. We had Lee last week speak to us. And today I'm going to kind of guide us through the Lord's Prayer. And then next week Mark's going to come and share with us. And I just put up this picture of my world. During the week I work on some motors and other things, various things. But I use my hands, mechanic, learning. Lots of really cool stuff there. On Friday, I was at the footy, and we were screaming for para, and it didn't work, but that's all right. It was a good game. It was a good game. We've got family, and obviously, you know, Tish and the kids, and then we've got our extended family, and that's a big part of our world, where if I'm not at work, it's probably family. And then we've got community. And so there are certain aspects in life where we're in Hawkesbury Valley, or we're in other aspects of community, and there's things that we socialise in or take part in that is part of our life. And then centre to it all is God. Without God, these things don't function in the way that they should be functioning. What I want you to do is I just want you to take those pictures and just put your things in there. Your workplace or your place of study, whatever that is, retirement and what you do in retirement, your friends, the community that you are a part of, Hawkesbury Valley, and your family, and what God looks like to you, how God is in your life. And what I want to do is just this idea, building a relationship with God that affects the very reality of eternity. And what I like this morning is we've heard lots of people pray, and you can see God affecting eternity. There is God moving in every single person's life, and it is up to us to engage with God, to have that relationship with God. And the challenge with prayer, what I find with prayer, is we ourselves kind of mess it up a little bit in how we might approach God. So I'm just going to throw out a couple of thoughts. There might be more thoughts to this, but I just want you to think about it. The first one is, perhaps you feel like you don't want to bother God. You know, why would God want to bother with me? And you kind of come with that attitude sometimes where you just feel like, I don't really want to come to God, because why would I be worth that? Why would I want to sit in that space where there's this big, incredible God, and I'm this small person, and why would he want to hear from me? And we can get into that headspace sometimes when we're doubting ourselves. Maybe there's a sin in our life, and we're not dealing with that, and we feel shame, and there's just things in our lives that have caused us to doubt how God looks at us. And I love what Tony said. The first thing is how much God loves us. And I think we need that reminder often when we're praying, because we need to know that the Father we are coming to, which is going to be the first line in the Lord's Prayer this morning, our Father, is the Father who we can actually come to because he loves us immeasurably. And so I'm just going to read a little bit of Psalm 139, where we just know God and how much he knows about us. It says, O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. God intimately knows us more than we will know ourselves. That is beautiful. Because next step, you go to the cross. Because then you have to go, okay, so how does God back that up? Jesus dies on the cross for our sins. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. It's just, it's a verse that we know over and over, but it's just going to the heart, going to where can I examine that God really loves me? At the cross, understanding that he gave his Son up for us. And so when we come to prayer, we know we are loved, and we don't have to have that question of why would God bother with me? He totally bothers with you. He absolutely loves you to bits, and he wants you to know that. And then the other side could be where perhaps we're really independent. And so we have a focus on getting things done and productivity and busyness, and we really kind of hold our own self up often. And so when we go to prayer, we throw some stuff out there because we're like, we know, God, it's important for us to give stuff to you. And maybe we kind of even want to give it to you, but we're kind of afraid of what's going to come back. Shake up your world. And if he is going to shake up your world, man, what's that going to look like? Like, that's possibly dangerous, scary stuff. Because God might do something. He might invite you into something that you really don't want to do. And so you're independent and you're going, no, I'm independent. But what God wants us to do is depend on him, to trust him. And so that's kind of like just where we want to open up now as we read in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer, and a little bit before that. And I just want us to go through it verse by verse today and just look at what does it look like for Jesus teaching us to pray. So starting in verse 5. Says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So the first part, he says, don't go out in public and put on a show. And what he's saying here is, like, we prayed with people this morning. There was a public prayer going on here. He's not saying don't do that. What he's saying is we're not looking for human attention. If we're praying because we want to be seen by others to be perhaps godly or to be someone that, you know, has this time with God, then that's not the deal. We don't want to be that. And he says, go away, shut the door, because that's where it really happens, where you're going to be able to spend time with God and pour your heart out to him. And yes, there is times for public prayer because there's a social aspect when we're praying where God wants us to come. And you'll notice in the prayer it says, our Father in heaven. It's talking about the Lord's Prayer is talking about community as well. It's together that we are joining in this. And so that's a good thing. But the question is here, do you pray for the human attention or do you really let your heart go to God? Second thing is, don't babble, just talk. Maddie Lang said this yesterday, say what you mean to say. Yep, that's right. Say what you mean to say. If you have nothing else to say, that's fine. Okay, you're allowed to sit in the silence and listen and understand God. I remember when I was going through my time in 2018 of anxiety and had that month off, I would walk Hobartville every day for a couple of hours, and often I couldn't say a thing. Like, I'd just be like, I love you, God. That's it. That's all I could say. And that was fine. I trusted in what God was going to do. I trusted in that space. Don't babble. We don't have to make it up and go crazy there. And so in the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, praying to our Father, the first thing we're doing is we're acknowledging that we are God's children, that we are part of His family. And we're coming to Him and we're saying, Father. And the biggest thing with Father there is we need to know that we're going to a Father who is dependable, who we can comfortably come to and trust, that we can unload, that we can give our lives to, and know that He is going to answer our prayers, that He is listening, and that He wants to speak to us, that we would know His will. And so, very simply, that first verse, our Father in heaven, we're identifying with God and we're saying, yes, amen, we're going to trust in You. At the start of this prayer, we're giving this to You. And then, may Your name be holy, which is an interesting thought. May Your name be holy. Isn't God holy? So, may Your name be holy. Well, yeah, it is. He's holy. I'm just going to flick to Exodus chapter 3 for this moment where Moses meets God. And I just want you to think about God's presence and understand the holiness of God. And then we'll see what that verse is really saying to us. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. He led the flock far into the wilderness and came to Sinai, the mountain of God. There the angel fire from the middle of a bush. Moses stared in amazement. Though the bush was engulfed in flames, it didn't burn up. This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't the bush burning up? I must go see it. When the Lord saw Moses coming to take a closer look, God called to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses. Here I am, Moses replied. Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. We have a God who is to be feared. A God, when it says He is holy, that He is almighty, that there is none like Him, the one true God. And Moses met Him in the burning bush, and his reaction as God warns him of who He is approaching is to cover his face because he was afraid. I know in our culture, the world wants us to forget God. He wants us to forget the majesty of who God is. And anything the evil one wants to do is to get the world to look away from God, to just not even acknowledge God. And I think what is so important for us as we come to God, as we make His name holy, we're asking God to help us to be reverent, to honor Him and glorify Him. When we come to God, we really want to know God. And the aspect of that is
He is set apart because he is righteous. He is the one true God who has done all of salvation, creation, redemption for us. And so we come knowing we can't bring anything, and so we need to come with reverence to go, yes, God, you are the King of Kings. And when we come there, the other thing that we're asking is, God, we want you to make us Christ-like. Because sinful people, we make God not look very holy. As we go around and we're representing Jesus, there are moments where people will look at us and go, really? You know, is that what God is like? And so our prayer, when we're asking God, make your name holy, is that through us, that our hearts would be inclined to be obedient and faithful to the ways of Jesus, that we would live his ways because it is glorifying him and it is being the light to the world that Jesus asks us to be. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. It's all about being ruled by Jesus. It's all about letting Jesus come into our lives and take over and be exactly who we are created to be. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You'll see Jesus teach people, heal people. You'll see him preach and explain the kingdom of God and how blessed we are to know that. And then to be able to come before that God and say, your kingdom come in two ways. First is through us. God wants to equip us and use our gifts and to be Christ-like so that we are vessels of kingdom impact. So we're looking at, if you want to think about your personal goals for our vision this year in love, pray, give, serve. You've got the one big prayer. We've got how are we going to love? How can we give? How are we serving? All of this to be growing the kingdom of God. And so God wants us to understand that he is using us in that space. And so when we're praying, your kingdom come, we're saying, God, you rule our life. You dictate the steps you want us to take. Reveal that to us and let us take that step. And we know, like with the Evans family, they're taking this huge step to America because that's where they believe that they are listening to God's will and being faithful in that. We all have that in our life. We're all asking God, okay, God, where should we be? And that's what we're asking this year. What, God, is your will for our life? What's your big prayer? Where do you really want to see God move? And the other thing is this. What would you be like if Jesus was going to come back in 10 years' time? What would change? Like if you thought that, you'd say, okay, so in 2033, Jesus is returning. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, so this is don't go take that home and tell the media we're going, Jesus is coming back in 2033. We don't know that. But the emphasis here is going, Jesus is coming back, and how should we act if we're saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Part of that prayer is saying, Jesus, we want you to return. And that's a big thing, because we're going, we want you to return, we want you to redeem, we want you to restore all things. So my question is, this is just for us to think about, is what does that mean for you if you live like that? Okay, Jesus is coming back and it could be any time, any moment. What would that change in our prayer life? What would that change in our living so that we would be really living out your kingdom come? And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want HVBC's kingdom impact to come from the will of God. So we've got to be really careful this year, and this is what I love about pray, love, give, serve, is we don't want to set an agenda based on we've just got to charge forward and we've got these things going on and this is, you know, we need to bolster up this ministry over here and this ministry is changing a bit, so we should do this. No, we've got to listen to what the will of the Father is and allow Him to direct those steps. And it's scary doing that, because that means we have to depend, and sometimes it just takes time. Like if we jump off and go every single time, we're going to make some big mistakes when God was saying, just wait, now go. You know, so that's what I want us to think about. When we're thinking about the will being done on earth as it is in heaven, and God wants to use our gifts, ask God how He wants us to use those gifts. Ask God how He wants Hawkesbury Valley to witness into this community. So you'll notice the first four things there. Our Father in heaven, may your name be holy, your kingdom come, your will be done. It was all about God. God directing our steps, God being glorified, God being the one who we are talking to and depending upon. The next section, we're really able to get on our knees with our own petitions and going, okay, what are our needs? Give us today our daily bread. I love the word daily, and I function in that space. I just get up and go, what am I doing today? That's the Mick life. And I like the word daily when we're walking with God, because it means that every single day we must depend on Him, and we start our day and we go, today, God, we need. And I like that. We need a plan for the future, and we need to look to what God is doing. But every single day, what are our physical needs? The food on the table, the money, the finances, the job, everything that's going on in our family, the things that we see going on in our community that we want God to intervene in. And so this is where I want you to think about our daily bread. What are the social needs that we see that a community is a part of? Because we're praying into God, give us our daily bread. So to have daily bread, we need a functioning society, a prosperous society. We need people to be living in justice. We need people to be merciful. We need people to experience God. And so for us to see that, we're also asking for that social aspect, going, God, we want you to intervene here for these people's needs. And if we get to be a part of that, that's awesome. But God, you can do it. Please give us our daily bread. Repentance. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I was reading Tim Keller's book on prayer. Really good book. If you like a bit of meat on prayer, it's a good book to read. And he just talked about Martin Luther. He wrote a whole bunch of stuff on prayer, and one of his things was, if we don't come to God in regular repentance, then we don't realize the joy and the confidence that we can have in the gospel, because we have a Father who's forgiven us. And what we want to do in daily repentance, and it's good to be daily, is to be able to acknowledge that we are forgiven people and come before Him and go, okay, God, up here, I asked you to make me more Christ-like, and I know yesterday I wasn't very Christ-like here, and I am giving that to you. And that we're giving our life to God, it's opening us up to letting God mold us into people who are holy. If we have the capacity, the willingness to come to God every day and go, yeah, God, I stuffed up. I didn't do this right. I wasn't able to love this person in this space. I just walked away from this situation, or whatever that is, that we can come to Him and go, forgive our sins. Forgive us our sins. And then this is the leveler. As we forgive those who sin against us. It's a real leveler to think about the people we need to forgive, because sometimes we don't want to forgive people. We're like, oh man, this person, why would I? But what God is asking us to look at in this, as Jesus taught this prayer, is examine your heart, and if you can come to God with his mercy being poured out upon you, then let God teach you how to forgive the people that have hurt you. See, let God do that. And that's why it hurts. Not only does it people hurt, but it just hurts us to go, okay, God, we got to let that go. But when we actually do that, we find freedom. We find the true freedom that is found in Jesus. When we know Jesus on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. He's hanging on the cross. He's dying for our sins, and he's saying, Father, forgive them. And then the criminal on the cross, you got one hurling insults at him and the other saying, don't you know who this is? And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Jesus is willing to forgive us, and he wants us to be willing to forgive others. And so as we come to prayer, we need to come in humility. I think humility sometimes gets mixed up with perhaps feeling a little bit of shame. Because when you're feeling shame, you can feel low, and it can kind of come across as humility sometimes. But humility is bowing low before God, understanding our position, but understanding that we can come with confidence. That's humility. It's not in pride, but it's in the confidence that salvation has brought us. And so James says, humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. He was dealing with a sin issue in that passage. And that's the thing. Whatever that is, it takes humility for us to come to God and confess, to own up. And so as we humbly come before God, being confident that he has saved us, we can acknowledge our sin. The last two, we can put them together. Let us not yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is, I think, in today's world, could be forgotten, but I know in Hawkesbury Valley it's not forgotten, because I saw it in the prayers this morning. I saw it in evidenced in people's lives in what they explained this morning, and that is that God is for us. He is with us. He is in our battles, but to acknowledge the battle. Let us not yield to temptation. We'd love God to take temptation away, but we know that that's not going to happen. And God is going to refine us. He wants us to be refined, to become more Christ-like. So therefore, if you're standing in front of temptation, God may actually be okay with that. But do not let us yield to. Do not let us enter into temptation. We're asking God to protect us, to give us a way to stand up in the face of temptation, to make us have the capacity to follow Jesus in the hard stuff. And so whatever temptation is before you, if you are praying daily, your mind is able to be set on Christ and what he is able to do for us. We are able to speak scripture into our temptations as Jesus did. We're able to stand there in the promises of God. We're able to walk away from a situation knowing that God's plan is better, even if the short-term gain there feels pretty good, because we know the long-term gain here is way better. So we're praying, do not let us yield to temptation. Temptation is there, but God protects us. And the second one is this. We're in this spiritual war where if the enemy could, he will take anything out from us. You know, our physical health, things in our lives, things that will make us go, God isn't there. and make us want to walk away from him. That is the enemy's plan, to seed lies, to do things in our life that will make us walk away from God. It's simple, but it's very tricky because it comes at us without us really realizing it. And so this part of the prayer, I think, is so important, especially in our age where the world is so fiercely going against God. So for us to go to God, we've got to go, protect us, rescue us from the evil one. Allow our lives to be continually covered in your grace. Allow us to be able to be holy because you are keeping the devil out from the places you know he wants to get to. And so I just want you to think about who could you be praying for this week that you want to pray protection. It's a big thing to ask for protection. I pray for protection over my children every single night because I am very aware that the devil wants them to walk away from God. And so I just ask God to protect them, to wrap them up, to not allow that to happen. I'm aware that they're going to go through temptation. I'm vastly aware that I'm way out of control. Like, I don't have the control over my kids when they're 2 years old and he's wanting cake this morning, let alone when they're teenagers or adults and they've got to make really big life decisions. I know that God is in control. And so who do you want to be praying for protection for that they would know God? And so just to wrap up this morning, you've got the pray, love, give, serve. It's a model of prayer. You can work your way through this prayer this week and you can just go, okay, I'm going to make God holy. I want God to make me Christ-like. I want your kingdom to come both very soon and through the things that you want to do through me. I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven because we want to see people restored. We want social orders to be the way that God intends them to be. We want things to be redeemed. We're going to ask that God would forgive our sins, knowing that we have confidence in salvation. We want to know that we can forgive others as God journeys us into those spaces. And we want to be able to not yield to temptation as we stand in front of that and go, God is good and we are following him. And we last of all want protection, that the enemy will have no say in this place, in our lives, because Jesus has the victory and he is the one who is making the way. Let's pray. Father, we just are in awe that we can come before you, a holy God, and know you. And we just thank you, God, this morning that Jesus teaches us to pray. And we just ask that you would help us to want that relationship with you that affects eternity, that your will can be bent towards the things that we are asking, God, that you allow us to engage with you and that you would direct our steps for eternal value. And we pray that you would allow us to come before you and be sorry, to know that we stuff up and acknowledge that, to become more Christ-like. And Father, we pray that any temptations we are facing, that you would give us all that we need to stand up in faith and in conviction to live your way. And we pray that you would protect us. Protect Hawkesbury Valley. Protect Australia. Protect the world in which the enemy wants to have his way. We pray that you would be redeeming. And we thank you that you are victorious. In Jesus' name. Amen.